This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Once again, is on the road. It's the second day of district track across the state of Nebraska. I'm in Loup City today. Jeff Babel is down the road in Wood River with reports from the C9. We may also have a couple of updates later today on what's going on at the C10 at Hershey, Kearney Catholic, and Franklin, and then a lot of mainly Western teams from our listening area are in that district. Class B also going on today. The B5 hosting most of the area teams at Adams Central. We are jam-packed today with the track, and state soccer is underway. Grand Island getting ready to boot it off on the boys' opening round as they are taking on Omaha Westside. The Kearney girls, a big win for them yesterday, their first state soccer win in 16 years. Coming up, Illinois baseball coach Dan Hartlib will join us in just a little bit. Tanner Lubach, Nebraska catcher, is standing by. We'll also preview the Preakness Stakes with Joe Drape of the New York Times and Mike Nanfito, Hastings boys soccer coach, as they play tomorrow morning in the 11 o'clock game. NBA playoffs, NHL, and a whole lot more is going on, but the final Big Ten baseball series of the season begins tonight in Lincoln against Illinois. The Huskers and the Illini are tied for second, trying to get that number two slot behind Indiana for the Big Ten tournament next week at TD Ameritrade Park. And we are pleased to welcome in Nebraska starting catcher Tanner Lubach to the Doug and Daddy Show. Tanner, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, thanks for the time. Everybody wants to know, have you gotten any sleep the last couple of days on that monster road trip home?
I have. You know, my sleep schedule has been pretty crazy lately, but I woke up this morning feeling the most refreshed I've felt in a while. So I guess that's pretty good since it's game day.
What the game got called short a little bit because you were supposed to be able to travel back, and because of the weather, you're just getting back into the rotation off injury, so you're excited to play again. But can you take us through the trip back? Anybody following the Huskers on the Twitterverse kind of had a chuckle with this. But when did you guys finally get back, and what were some of the oddities along the bus trip home?
Yeah, I mean, it was chaos from the beginning. I mean, the game at Michigan State got delayed because there was a shooter near campus. I mean, that started the day off wrong. We had rain delays throughout the game. That messed things up, lightning delays. So, you know, we're hurrying out of there to get to the airport. We're thinking we're going to have to wear our uniforms on the plane because we're going to hustle that hard to the airport. Well, it turns out we get delayed in East Lansing Airport. So right from the get-go, we're already in trouble. Flight gets canceled, so we're not going to make it out of East Lansing. So we're sitting in the airport. Pizza comes at 2 a.m. We're eating pizza at the baggage claim of East Lansing Airport at 2 a.m. Then finally a bus comes. The bus takes us to East Joliet, Illinois. We get there at 4 a.m., go to sleep for 3 hours at a Holiday Inn hotel, wake up, expect to get on the bus by 9 a.m., well, the bus didn't get there till 11. So then we're trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do now? So the bus finally comes and then takes us to Des Moines. We get a new bus in Des Moines. We finally get back to Lincoln about 8 p.m. So what turned into playing Creighton just turned into get us home. So we made it. Guys were going crazy in the back of the bus, making videos, trying to document this crazy trip. But it was crazy how good everyone's spirits were. I mean, you know, easily we could have complained and sulked the whole trip home, but guys had fun with it, and it was something that we'll never forget, that's for sure.
Tanner Lubach, Nebraska starting catcher with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. I'm sure at the season-ending banquet, this will be a part of the video that's shown at the end. Do you feel, Tanner, that this was a bonding experience, or did the team need something like this? It sounds like you guys are pretty good about getting along with each other. You think this is going to help the team as you head into the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that, builds a little bit of a bond between us, I guess, when you're spending that much time in that crazy of a situation. Is something that guys can definitely mesh together pretty well. And like you said, we all get along really well. So, I mean, there's rarely any conflicts throughout that whole time. You'd think that, something would get stirred up a little bit with a bunch of guys in a room together for that long. But, no, it was a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk about you personally. How are you coming back from the injury, and how did you feel the last weekend went for you?
I mean, everything was great with my ankle. I have a pretty hefty brace that I have on it, and I get taped underneath that. So I had no problems there. Everything was normal catching-wise and everything. And I felt like, maybe a little time off, it might take me a little bit to get back into, the flow of the game and everything. But luckily, I mean, everything just kind of happened. And I was hoping that would be the case. I mean, after how many games I've played, I hope that a little break wouldn't affect me too much. But, no, I feel like I'm seeing the ball well. And hopefully we can build off that past weekend, this weekend, and have an even better one. So I'm looking forward to playing Illinois this weekend.
Tanner, did you look at the injury? Was it a freak accident? Was it a bad slide? What do you attribute the injury occurring? How do you think that actually did happen?
It was hard to see because, I mean, I went back and watched the replay, and it looked like my cleat just got stuck underneath me, just in the dirt. And then when I slid, I kind of came over my foot. I mean, you tuck your foot underneath you to slide. So if my toe got stuck, that would cause me to just roll it underneath my body when I slid on top of it. So, I mean, was it my technique? I don't know. Was it something just freak happened? Probably. But luckily last weekend I didn't have to slide. But if you're going to see me sliding the rest of the year, it's going to be head first. We'll just say that.
Well, don't sprain your thumb or anything like the major leaguers are doing right now if you got to go in head first. You've been pretty darn good behind the plate as well, but with an injury like this, will it affect you throwing to second? Has it affected your, when you hurt a leg and ankle where you can't run and kind of stay in shape, has it affected you that way at all?
Not really. At first, it was kind of going to affect my blocking because in order to block, you have to kick your feet out and kind of flatten your feet on the ground behind you. And with that brace and everything on there, I have very limited flexibility in my ankle. So at first, I was kind of worried about that. But, I mean, last weekend, I was getting down and blocking balls, just naturally. So I've changed up some of my stances when I catch just because I used to be really flat towards the ground. But now, obviously, I just kind of get up on my left toe to kind of relieve some of that stress on that ankle. But everything, I hope I'm still catching as well as I was before. I'd like to think I was, but throwing's fine, hitting's fine. It's just one of those things that I've been able to deal with as well as I can, I guess.
Tanner Lubach, Nebraska starting catcher with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda with you on this Thursday. Tanner, of course, nobody roots for anybody to get hurt, but for our listeners here in the Tri-Cities and Kearney, they were really happy to see Taylor Fish get a chance to kind of step in that next man up role. And he had been playing some midweek games and had some big RBIs when he was getting a chance in a secondary role. But then he steps in, does pretty well in your absence. What's the relationship like between you two guys, and what were you seeing from Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see Fish stepping up in big situations. I mean, if you look at his hits, they were all in big opportunities, big RBI situations. So that was really cool to see. But, I mean, he does a great job behind the plate as well. And we get along really well. I mean, everyone's looking for that battle behind the plate, the two guys that hate each other and, want to beat each other out so bad. But, that's not how Taylor and I are. And we both want the best for each other.
Of course, and you got Quinn in there who had to step in after the little hammy pull. Can you tell us how Fish's hamstring is, or do you know?
Fish's hamstring has been really well, or he's been doing really well with it. In Michigan, obviously, or Michigan State, they told him, take it a little easy running. We don't want you to mess anything up. But he's been telling everyone that he's feeling great, and I mean, I don't think he's having any problems. Obviously, catching, he's doing fine with that hamstring. It's just running is mainly his big thing he's got to overcome, but we're going to need him down the stretch, so I'm hoping that hamstring gets back to normal.
A couple minutes left here with Nebraska starting catcher Tanner Lubach behind the dish. Are you getting the start tonight, Tanner? Do you know yet?
I mean, we don't usually get the lineup until, you know, about 3 or 4 hours before the game, so I'll find out later today if I'm playing or not, so we'll see.
Well, we're going to assume that you're the man behind the dish. Talk about Illinois and the importance of this series. Coach Erstad said after the Michigan State series that you guys know what's at stake, but probably not going to have a chance to win the conference, and second or third seed, you know, I guess in the grand scheme of things, big deal if you're the second or the third seed. It's just the number in front of your name. But how big are the players taking this series this week?
I mean, we know the importance behind it. Obviously, that two or three seed is going to make a big difference in how the tournament plays out. Obviously, you want that two seed. I mean, you look at the game times, you can either play at 9 a.m. or you can play later in the day. So that's the difference between the two or three seed in some people's eyes. But Illinois is going to be a tough team. I mean, they're coming in, same record as us in the Big Ten. They've had some big non-conference wins as well. They've been playing good baseball. They have a great rotation. One of their guys is coming back this weekend. He hasn't thrown too much, but, I mean, he was like a freshman All-American last year. So I'm sure we'll get some good competition from him. And, I mean, they can swing it too. We've been watching some film of their games the past couple of weeks, not to watch them hit, but watch the other pitchers. But we've been seeing Illinois have been crushing some of these pitchers that we've been watching. So, obviously, our guys are going to have to go out there and fill up the zone and make them put the ball in play, and then good things will hopefully happen. So, I mean, it's going to be a challenge, but we welcome that challenge, and we're looking forward to having them play here at Haymarket this weekend.
Tanner, does the team feel like they're in the NCAA tournament right now?
I mean, obviously, that's what Coach has been saying to us. You know, all these people are speculating, you guys are in, blah, blah, blah. But obviously, I mean, we have to focus on the task at hand. I mean, there's nothing that's just going to be given to us, and we can't have that mindset of, oh, we're in. Let's take these games lightly from here on out. And we got to go in like we're not in. So we got to finish strong. I mean, obviously, crazy things could happen. We don't want, you know, our destiny to be in someone else's hands. So we want to do as much as we can for that, you know, that RPI-type standing, stuff like that, towards the end of the year. But we're just going to go into every game with Illinois this weekend, hoping to take some momentum into the Big Ten tournament.
Last second here with Tanner Lubach, Nebraska catcher. You've been pretty consistent pre-post injury at the plate, but the team struggled offensively quite a bit early on this season. The pitching seems to be very consistent, and they had another great weekend, even with De Leon out again for his third straight series this week. The rest of the team, though, seems to be coming along at the plate. Can you sense a reason of why that is?
I don't really know what it's been. I mean, guys have just been locked in at the plate, and we've been aggressive, and we've stuck with the approach. I mean, guys, for a while there, you know, you're kind of searching at the plate. You know, what am I trying to do? Guys are starting to take the strikes and swing at the bad pitches, and that's when you know that things are going wrong inside people's heads. So I think lately guys have just been locked into, you know, dominating fastballs and being aggressive at the plate, and good things have started to happen. We've been manufacturing a lot more runs. I mean, you saw last weekend we scored three runs, was it, in the top of the first inning at Michigan State. So when we're scoring early, that's when things are going really well, because we're coming out in attack mode, and that's what we need to do to keep the tone.
Tanner, last question. You, Kelly Pritchard, you lead the team in home runs with three big dingers each. Who's going to be the first one to get four, and will it happen tonight?
Obviously, I'm going to hope it's me. But, I mean, if any of us take home runs, I mean, it's kind of a fun little battle between all of us, because you got Mike, who hasn't hit a home run until this year. So, obviously, he's kind of on his high horse with finally hitting home runs. So, Pat and I will try and knock him off that high horse if we can.
All right, I'm predicting a second at-bat home run for Tanner Lubach tonight against Illinois, and then he'll do some kind of a flex when he crosses the plate. So, Tanner, we'll be watching tonight. We'll be listening tonight. Best of luck this week, and we'll see you in Omaha at the Big Ten tournament next week.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tanner Lubach, starting catcher for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and we appreciate his time. We're going to have Dan Hartlib, the head coach at Illinois, here momentarily as we tell you in between times about lunch, track time. You always got to pack the coolers. The kids need to pack a little lunch. It's a long day, whether it's districts, whether it's state, and it doesn't have to be track. You're going out to watch district or state golf here in the next couple of weeks. Maybe you're going to be headed down to Omaha. Load that cooler up with sandwiches from Big Dally's Deli. There is something at Big Dally's that absolutely every person on the track club will like. Maybe they like crab or chicken salad. Maybe they like the big beefy sandwich. Maybe they like a little veggie sandwich. That's all there for you at Big Dally's Deli. Two locations in Hastings, but right now they're remodeling the store downtown. So please check out the store right across from Duncan Field. You can give them a buzz for carry out, takeout orders, or catering. And of course, top of the hill in Kearney. You choose your sandwich, you choose your bread, you choose the cheese, the toppings. You can make it, a combo meal with soda, chips, cookies, fruit cups, soup. It's all there for you. A great meal for any member of the family. Big Dally's Deli in Kearney and Hastings. Well, it's the final Big Ten series of the season, and it will determine who finishes second in the Big Ten Conference, and that's kind of strange to say, as hot as Nebraska and Illinois have been going into this final season, but we're joined by the head coach of the Fighting Illini, Dan Hartlib, as they come into Lincoln for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday get-together. And, Coach, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. How are things with the Fighting Illini?
Everything's good. Yeah, it's been a long few weeks. As you said, Nebraska's been a very good team, and I think we've been a very good team. And so as we wind down this Big Ten season, it's going to be a fun clash here at the end of the season.
I want to start with some statistics here that just jump out. You guys really lowered your ERA last year, and I know being a former pitching coach, you couldn't be more proud of taking it down another level here. If you guys stay where you're at, you're going to break the school record for low ERA.
Our pitchers have done a great job. There's several things that have come into play. And again, number one, it's the talent of the players. They've done such a good job. They've worked extremely hard. I think our pitching coach, Drew Dickinson, has been outstanding and really done a great job of helping these young men progress. So I am pleased with, what has happened from a pitching standpoint. And, hopefully we can continue to pitch the same level we have.
Talk a little bit about what you plan on putting out there for a rotation, same that you've had all season long.
Yeah, it's going to be similar. The one thing that we're trying to figure out right now is Kevin Duchesne, which was our number one pitcher early in the year, and then we had to shut him down for 6 weeks basically because of some soreness. He's back to 100% healthy, and we're trying to see, where we need to put him in the rotation to get him back to full swing as far as number of innings and number of pitches. But it's going to be very similar as far as having Drayson Johnson out there, John Kravitz, and Kevin Duchesne.
And for Duchesne, even when he's out, you guys have still been doing pretty good in the opening game of the series. And obviously, you win that opening game of a Big Ten series, it's going to set the table for the weekend. Has there been a special spark on these Friday night ball games so far this season?
Well, Drayson Johnson has done a great job for us on Friday nights. And, he was thrown into a tough position from a mental standpoint. We had him throwing in the three slot. And then when Kevin went out, we moved him to the number one slot, and he handled it extremely well. He's a redshirt junior and has been through some battles before and has just gone in and given us very good innings and done a great job in that Friday night game.
We're talking with Dan Hartlib, head coach of the Fighting Illini, three-game series in Lincoln. And, Coach, is it disheartening knowing that nobody probably has a shot to be number one and catch Indiana despite how well both you and Nebraska are playing going into this weekend?
Well, it's one of those situations where you always want to win a championship. But, you look at Indiana and what they've done and, the progress that Tracy Smith has made with that program over time. There's nothing that you can do at this point except go out and win the games that you're going to play. I think if you ask Nebraska and you ask our players, we're focused on winning games so that we can help our resume for the possibility of an NCAA bid. So you can't look at what you can't do, you know, who you can or can't catch. It's just going out and taking one game at a time and, you know, doing the best job you can so that you have that resume to hopefully continue on and extend your season.
Coach, I guess that's what we all want to know right now. I know Coach Erstad wouldn't say it, but the folks around the program like where Nebraska has positioned themselves right now. A lot of people say you guys are a bubble team right now. So does that make this a very important weekend?
I think every weekend is very important. You know, obviously the more games you win, the more it helps you. I think Indiana, obviously they're, you know, they're going to be in the tournament. I think Nebraska's done a good job positioning themselves. And I think with our late season, you know, surge per se, we've positioned ourselves. If we can do a good job, not only this last weekend, but in the Big Ten tournament, I think, you know, we're a team that should be considered. I think we can go in and compete at the national level. And, you know, I'm hopeful that that we'll get at least three teams, if not more, in from the Big Ten, depending on what happens in the Big Ten tournament.
Dan Hartlib with us here for another couple minutes. He's the head baseball coach of Illinois, tied for Nebraska, or with Nebraska, 16-5 in the conference, which a lot of years would be good enough maybe to win the whole thing. Coach, when you take a look at the strength of schedule, which maybe hurt Nebraska last year. Maybe they played too tough a schedule and ended up one game away from making the tournament. There's that fine line. You got to schedule some games that are going to give you a chance, your team, to win some games, but yet they've got to have a high enough RPI to maybe get you an at-large berth. Are you guys ready to take that next step as far as non-conference scheduling?
Well, I think we have. If you look at what we've done over the past you know, 2, 3, 4 years, we've had a strong schedule, and scheduling is very tough, you know, from year to year, because you schedule so far out and you schedule teams that, you know, that usually have been in regionals or have been at the top of their conference. And, you know, maybe that once that, you start playing that schedule 2 years later, one of those teams is young or they've fallen off for a year or two. So there's some luck involved. But if you look again at what we've tried to do schedule-wise, a lot of the teams that we've played have been regional teams within the last 2, 3, and 4 years. You know, and the other thing that you have to look at is proximity to different institutions. You can only play certain people midweek, and so you're kind of narrowed in as to, you know, what you can do from an RPI standpoint once you get into the conference season.
Couple minutes with Dan Hartlib here, the head baseball coach at Illinois. You had a young man, and you've got some good offense there, even though the overall batting average probably would like to be a little higher. But, boy, Casey Fletcher's really kind of caught fire here for you lately.
Well, Casey's done a great job. He's, you know, a player that, you know, has a lot of experience in the game, grew up around the game of baseball. His dad and his grandfather both played in the big leagues. You know, he is a person that is a great leader, doesn't worry about himself, just tries to help others, and then he goes out and performs on a regular basis. Really pleased with what he's done, not only as an individual, but what he's done to help our team as a whole.
Coach, how hard was it to replace your All-American and Player of the Year in Justin Parr?
Well, you always know in college baseball that you're going to have guys move on. You just hope they can play at a high level. You know, you look at this team, and there have been times when we're playing 6 and 7 new guys from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, we're extremely young. We're only going to lose, you know, 3 seniors. One has got a lot of playing time. The other two have not played a lot. And then you also look at the draft situation. We probably only have the chance to lose one junior in the draft. So this is a very young team. We're going to have everybody back, and I think this is a team that can contend for a number of years.
Coach, I think one guy Nebraska fans will not want to see this week is Tyler Jay. He seems to be getting the job done when it's time to put the nail in the coffin.
Well, Tyler's been very good. He's been consistent all year. He's got a very, very good arm and competes well. You know, I hope throughout the weekend that we're in a situation where we can use him, because, you know, we have an opportunity to win a game But it's going to be a great battle. I have great respect for Darren Erstadt and what he's done with Nebraska. I think, you know, you look at the history of what we've done as a program and what Darren's done, you know, I think you've got two of the better programs within the Big Ten competing on a weekend to, you know, try to get ourselves in championship play.
And, Coach, finally, you're going to be making two consecutive trips here in a short amount of time. Will you take in TD Ameritrade and kind of prepare for the Big Ten tournament anyway, or will you just focus straight on Lincoln and straight on Nebraska this week?
No, I'm not concerned about the Big Ten tournament. I'm not concerned about game two or three at Nebraska. All we can do is go out and prepare ourselves for game one, just as we've done all year, just, you know, one game at a time, and try to put ourselves in position to win that game. And then once we get done with that game, win or lose, we'll, you know, start preparing for game two. So, you know, we are going to come out to Lincoln and go straight to Omaha for the tournament. But to look past Nebraska at this point and try to prepare for the tournament, you know, that's not even an option for us right now.
And as you said, it's finals week, so the kids got a lot on their mind here this week.
They do. It's you know, a very tough time for them. We've got 2.5 days to get all of our exams in, so we've got a lot of guys that had to shuffle their exam times around. But our guys have done a great job all year. They've been very focused, and I know they're looking forward to completing their exams so we can concentrate on baseball.
Well, Coach, we look forward to seeing you, in Lincoln this weekend, and then, of course, in Omaha next week. It's been a great season so far for the Illini, so keep up the great work. Let's get as many Big Ten teams in the tournament as we can.
Yeah, that sounds good. I appreciate that, and look forward to seeing everyone in a few days.
Dan, thanks for the time. Best of luck to the Illini.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Dan Hartlib, head coach of the Fighting Illini. They will be spending, they hope, a long time in the state of Nebraska, finishing up their series with the Huskers and finishing up the regular season over the next 3 days. And then they will be taking on the Big Ten tournament. And as you heard with Tanner Lubach, either second or third for the seeds between those two. And it doesn't look like there can be any movement elsewhere. But that was the funny thing talking to Lubach earlier. You want incentive? Not playing at 9 in the morning is incentive. I am with him on that. Get played a little bit later in the day, get a bigger Nebraska crowd, and get that TD Ameritrade fired up, especially for the fans that were expecting to go see Nebraska-Creighton on Tuesday when that game got canceled. So thanks to both Tanner Lubach and to Illinois coach Dan Hartlib for joining us on the show today. Want to give you a quick soccer update. The big Class A game this morning, which could have been the state championship, Omaha-Creighton Prep did beat Omaha South 3-2. South and Prep were 1-2 in the points and 1-2 in the rankings until South had to forfeit some of their wins due to some ineligible players. And so they ended up being an 8th seed after their record dropped and their points dropped with those forfeits, and Prep beat them 3-2. Grand Island and Omaha Westside still scoreless midway through the first half, and we will keep you up to date on that. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. Mike Nanfito, Hastings boys soccer coach. We're going to talk a little golf with Matt Shaner out at the Kearney Country Club. Andy from Midway is going to slide by a little bit later, but when we return, we'll take a look at the 10-horse field in the Preakness, and can anybody beat California Chrome? We'll find out from Joe Drape, who was at the Preakness draw yesterday, from the New York Times when we come back.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better, just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100%, and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
ESPN ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 61 with breezy conditions. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low near 38. For Friday, we'll have a chance of rain showers, cooler with a high near 59. Currently, it's 52.
Doug and Danny Show rolls on here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. It's a very busy Thursday here in Nebraska. Glad to have you along with us here on ESPN Radio. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, which professional sport has the best replay system after the debacle in the NBA playoffs earlier this week? Of course, everyone gets upset when it doesn't go their way. 67% thought the NFL had a pretty good replay system. 33% went with the NHL. Nobody getting on board with the NBA and Major League Baseball. Maybe that's because they've messed it up lately. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Midtown Mark cooler question today, who will win Saturday's Preakness? Do you have California Chrome, the 3-5 favorite, or do you have the field? Early prognostications, I'll take California Chrome. Let's see what our listeners think on the Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, let's talk Preakness right now. We are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from the New York Times, Joe Drape. Joe, thanks for the time. Great to catch up. How are you?
Yeah, I always look forward to this conversation with you guys. How are things back there in the great Midwest?
Well, I just want you to know folks are fired up because by listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, they were signing tax forms and cashing tickets at the Kentucky Derby, and they've done that with you the last couple of years, so they're expecting you to give them all the knowledge on the Preakness.
Well, this is going to be a very formful Preakness. I heard you in the lead-in say that you like California Chrome. He's hard not to like. He's won his last five by a combined nearly 27 links. The Preakness has a field of 9 rivals, 10 altogether. And usually what happens, these are the horses that weren't good enough to make the Derby. And so they're cut below. But there's going to be some long shot opportunity in there for you. But I really think California Chrome is going to wax this field and get to New York with a shot at history.
And that's what it comes down to, isn't it, Joe? Everybody knows or believes California Chrome's the best horse, but the best horse doesn't always win, so there's two ways to look at it. Are you rooting for a Triple Crown, or do you want to make some money and try and do something with the other 9 horses?
Well, that's the eternal conflict I have. I mean, my life and job and work gets a lot easier and a lot more interesting when a horse pulls into New York with a shot at history. It's just exciting for the sport. It's exciting for New Yorkers. It's a time that the world has their attention on American horse racing. But, I'm always looking for value and like looking for a score just like you and your listeners and everybody else is. So, what I am going to do on this is I'm going to put California Chrome on top and then I'm going to play with some long shots underneath and just play a few bucks on the triple and the superfectas.
We'll give that as a tease. We'll get your picks here a little bit later on in the chat here. It has been very, very hard for the favorite, let alone a very short favorite, to win the Kentucky Derby, and California Chrome did it in convincing fashion. When we were talking the week of the Kentucky Derby, we had some analysts say, you know what, I don't want a good horse to sneak through in a weak field and win the Triple Crown. I want a great horse. And sometimes we don't even know who a great horse is until we get to the Belmont. Right now, where does California Chrome sit?
You know, of the seven I've watched that have made it to Belmont with a shot, he belongs right now with the two that I think were the best of them. Smarty Jones was undefeated through this thing, and Big Brown was laid over the field like California Chrome, was very talented. I do think if you watch that Derby, if you remember, he has won five in a row. But at the Derby, that race was never in contention. You knew he was going to win heading into the first turn. Nobody had an excuse. He spurted off. He's got that extra gear the very good to great ones have. And he spurted off, and then he shut him down, and he just kind of cruised in there. So I do think this is really a better horse than we were used to seeing this time of year. Now, all that said, it's going to be muddy, perhaps. We don't know what his muddy track running style is. You got a couple other horses that are kind of scary. Social Inclusion had, you know, made headlines by setting track records his first two starts in Florida, went in by 17 lengths. He came up to New York to run the wood against Wicked Strong and ran well, but finished third. And now he's back a little bit with a little bit of a foot bruise, but he's really fast in the front. He's going to go. Bayern is a Bob Baffert horse, another fast horse from California that ran third in the Arkansas Derby. And those two have 5-6 weeks of rest in their system. Chrome's coming out after 2 weeks. Then you got some closers like Kid Cruz coming in. It didn't walk over Doug, but I still think Chrome's better than all of them.
We're talking with Joe Drape of the New York Times. Of course, we first knew Joe as a author with the R Boys about the Smith Center, Kansas football team down there. And Joe, what as you mentioned here, and I guess I'll follow up, as I read your article this morning, you're talking about other horses setting the pace, and that's what they did in the Derby. The field, and correct me if I'm wrong, this even sets up for California Chrome, doesn't it?
Well, it's going to tax him a little bit. In the Derby, the speed everybody prophesized never showed up. They went pretty slow for the first half and three quarters of a mile. I think these two, Bayern and Social Inclusion, are going to go out really fast. Now, Chrome likes to be in the pocket. He likes to be 3-4 back, close enough to pounce. But, you know, the secret is, well, Victor Espinoza, his rider, and who's done nothing wrong, he's undefeated on this horse. If he just lets his horse, lets Chrome relax and waits for the moment till he pushes the button, everything's going to be fine. But, you know, what happens sometimes is those horses go, he wants to give chase, then Espinoza has to decide, okay, do I let him go or do I fight with him? And if I fight with him, I'm taking some run out of him. And if I let him go, he may be going too fast and may not have anything left. So, you know, those are the games within the game, and that's the difference between cashing a $6 ticket and a $60 ticket.
We have only three of the 10 in the Preakness that ran in the Kentucky Derby besides California Chrome, two other horses that got in there, and they weren't that much, General A-Rod and Right on Curlin. So you told us about Social Inclusion. Are you surprised that more Derby horses, especially some of the, I mean, it was outside of the second place horse, third and fourth was right there and could have made some noise here. Are you surprised there weren't more entrants here?
No, it's become a modern trend, Doug. I mean, frankly, the only horse that has to go to the Preakness is the Derby winner. People expect him there, but it's a tough thing to come back on 2 weeks rest, especially after they've done a spring of four or five races that take a lot out of them just to make the Derby field. So what's happened is the second through sixth, seventh horses, the ones that look good, they lay up and wait 5 weeks for the Belmont. It gives you a nice big hunk of time to rest. Belmont's a long, winding track that favors sort of endurance rather than any tactics or anything. You just got to be able to keep running again. And, you know, if Chrome wins Saturday, there'll be 14 horses waiting for him at the Belmont, and that's traditionally been what's going on in the modern era because everybody wants to take a shot, and jockeys will make him work all mile and a half of the test of the champion. So, you know, the Derby horses, they're a non-factor in this, and that's why I give Chrome a shot to get to the next leg because the two coming back, you said General A-Rod and Right on Curlin, they don't figure. Right on Curlin comes from behind. General A-Rod is a good horse, but, you know, he's danced every dance. He's got to be tired right now. He's a mid-pack runner. You know, of the new shooters, I really do think Kid Cruz is the most interesting one, and he's going to be underneath on my exactus and tries and superfectus. And he has a late running style, but has been brought along very slowly, and it seems to be peaking at the right time. Another horse that deserves kind of a look from your people out there is Dynamic Impact, who won the Illinois Derby. Again, another late bloomer who might be getting good right now. But those are the ones I'm going to lay under California Chrome. I mean, I honestly do believe that he's getting through this race and coming to New York. And I don't say that many. In fact, I haven't said it recently at all. I didn't think any of them would get past the Preakness with a shot. But this is the one.
So Chrome's at 3-5. What do you think he's going to go off at?
About that or even money. Some other horses will get more popular, and a lot of people like me and you will say, I'm not playing them at even money and load up on other horses. But it's going to be a short price. The Derby winner usually is in the Preakness. So, you know, build into the race, pick threes, pick fours going in and out of the race, play supers and trifectas. I mean, basically, you sort of root for history here. You don't lay the money out. And you and I have talked about this many times, and we've had it happen to us. The Derby is where I empty my pockets. You got 20 horses. You've got nobody knowing anything. You've got what in Las Vegas they call dumb money or public money. So, you know, Rosie Nabravnik, the lady jockey, gets bet down too much because people are betting the lady jock. You know, horses become popular to the popular imagination. But the Preakness is a race you just kind of watch and you try to build a nice exotic sticker.
Last minute here with Joe Drape of the New York Times. Now, there were two horses that entered the Derby. Opportunity scratched, and then Pablo Del Monte decided not to take his spot. Pablo Del Monte's in the 9 hole. Just touch on him and Opportunity still isn't healed up. Will he have a chance at the Belmont, or is he kind of done?
He's off the Triple Crown trail, and they're looking for a late summer comeback with him. Pablo El Monte is interesting. He is bred to run all day. He would have been great in the Derby. They scratched because he had the 20th hole, and that was going way outside. And again, he's outside here, but it's a compact field, and he has a little bit of speed too. So he's one that is interesting. But so far, he really has looked more like a polytrack horse or a turf horse than he has a genuine dirt horse. So that's sort of the knock on him there. He's going to add to the pace quite a bit. And the way it sets up is California Chrome's in the 3, and you watch the break to his right, Pablo, Bairn, Social Inclusion, who I think are the 3, 5, 8, 9, the 5, 8, 9, they're going to go gunning out from there. And what I'd like to see is Chrome sitting fourth off the rail because the rail's very dead here, about 3 or 4 past, and just cruising along behind them, let them do all the work until he gets about to the top of that second turn, and then just push the button and watch him blow by.
All right. It sounds like if I've got this right, you've got California Chrome and behind him Kid Cruz and Dynamic Impact. Did I miss anybody?
Yeah, I'm going to use Social Inclusion just because you have to. But you want him to come fourth instead of second. Yeah, you've got it all right there. And trust me, it kills me to pick a favorite. I'm the guy who picked Animal Kingdom. I mean, I go out and try to outsmart them, but this is a race you can't outsmart. And before I forget, let me wish a happy graduation to the Smith Center class of 2014. They're graduating on Saturday as well. And I still keep in touch with several of them, and it's an exciting time for them.
Of course, our boys, you can check it out at Amazon.com about Smith Center Kansas football. You've also got the book Soldiers First. Joe, anything else you're working on?
Yeah, I'm always working on something, man. I've got a 9-year-old I got to keep putting through school. nothing ready to announce to the good listeners of my favorite ESPN superstation. And I mean that the truth. Yeah, I like you guys the best of all of them.
Well, Joe, we love you. Thanks so much for the kind words, and we'll see how things go this Saturday. We'll catch up with you again before the Belmont, if that's okay.
Absolutely, and I hope we're talking about a historic bid, the 12th Triple Crown champion, the first since affirmed in 1978. So let's keep our fingers crossed, and I'll see you down the road.
All right, have a great weekend, Joe. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Joe Drape, New York Times, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Yes, he gave our listeners Animal Kingdom a couple of years ago, and of course we've had a chance to talk with him about the Smith Center Kansas football, the little dynasty that they had going there, and check out the book Our Boys, good read if you haven't had a chance. Even if you're not from Smith Center, Kansas, you could take Smith Center off that and write in a lot of smaller towns or mid-range towns throughout the Midwest. Coming up, Andy from Midway is going to chat with us here in just a moment, then we're going to talk with Hastings soccer coach Mike Nanfito, and also an update on what is going on down at the state soccer tournament. Doug Duda with you here at the C8 district meet. I'll give you some updates on that as well here in just a little bit. Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on the road today with us covering district track, but Andy is with us in studio to talk about what's going on as my Dodge Durango has gotten me safely home again from the Midway Auto Dealerships. Thank you for telling me what the best item was, but it doesn't matter what you want, Chevy, Buick, Cadillac, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, you've got them all.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, right now, we have been blowing out trucks up at the Chevrolet store. Great selection of them right now, too. I mean, over 75, almost 80 brand new Silverados to choose from, whether it's the brand new 2015 one tons and three quarter tons, or whether it is the 1500s, the 2014s. A lot of great things going on right now. One thing I can tell you is, these vehicles, the 14 Silverado, the light duty, has been holding its value like it never has before, which in turn has allowed it to be one of the best leasing new trucks out there. So if it is something where you don't want to spend, you know, $700-$900 on a truck payment, but you want to get a pretty nice truck, there's a lot of great options out there right now. And different cab configurations, just different engine sizes, different packages, trim levels. You need to get on down, talk to Heath Phillips about that whole deal. But it doesn't just stop or start right there with the trucks. We also have the brand new 2015 Chevrolet Tahoe, Chevrolet Suburban. And during the Memorial Day sales event, absolutely wonderful to have these things, because you think of Memorial Day, you think of traveling, you think of getting the family in it. And I'll tell you what, this is probably one of the most impressive beasts I've ever seen. And I'll tell you what, if you like to go ahead and make a statement, and you want to go ahead and give the chiropractors in town some business from snapping some necks, we've actually got a brand new 2015 Cadillac Escalade that's going to be hitting the ground any day now. And we just had our Cadillac trainers in talking about this product. And, I mean, this is going to be one heck of a beast. They haven't done any changes realistically to them since 2007, since they changed the body style. So we're excited to see one in person. I know it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. And let's not forget there, too, we also got a lot of great vehicles outside of just the Chevrolet Silverados and the Cadillacs, Tahoe, Suburbans, Cruises, Sonics, Sparks, Impalas, Malibus, Encores, Regals. I mean, you name it, there's a plethora of vehicles out there, and the selection has never been better at Midway Chevrolet. You are talking almost 200 vehicles in stock or in transit on that Chevrolet lot right now, brand new. That doesn't even count the pre-owned. You got to get down there. Come see Heath Phillips, Darren Sprague, and the gang. These guys will get you all hooked up, okay?
All right, Andy. Hey, have a great week. We can't wait to get down there to the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or go online to thinkmidway.com. Enjoy the beautiful weather and a good chance to get down there and see some vehicles. Enjoy your week, bud.
Will do.
We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
With the top of the key. He'll drive, he'll spin, he'll shoot, he'll score.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. And how about never having to sign a contract? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing, and no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Does that make me crazy? Does that make me
Doug and Daddy's show rolling on a Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to talk with Kearney High girls soccer coach Tammy Anderson as they get ready for the state semifinals, their first state soccer victory in 16 years. Gino Bucola of the TVG Network will be talking more Preakness with us. He helped you win the trifecta in the Kentucky Derby. We'll see if he can get you something here in the Preakness as well. Boys soccer, they are at halftime. Grand Island and Omaha Westside are scoreless at halftime in Class A. Earlier today in the big-time matchup, Creighton Prep beat Omaha South 3-2. Well, if you're down Morrison Stadium at Creighton at 11 a.m. every single morning this week, you're going to find a Central Nebraska team. Yesterday, the Kearney girls. Today, the Grand Island boys. And tomorrow, the Hastings boys will take their 14-4 record up against Gretna. And Coach Mike Nanfito joins us here to talk about the Hastings Tigers. Coach, congratulations. How are things going with the boys?
Hey, Doug. Thanks. Thanks for having me on this morning. Things are going good. We're preparing for Gretna. Tomorrow morning we play them at 11 a.m. We're excited to get back to the state tournament. And we draw a tough matchup, but we feel that we can go down tomorrow morning and compete. And hopefully we're going to be able to play our best game of the season. And hopefully it's going to give us an opportunity to win.
Tell me a little bit about Gretna, strengths. You guys have, I mean, I'm not even going to bring up your schedule. If you beat Grand Island, you've played Kearney, you've played and had success against Class A schools. So I think you guys are well-tested. What about Gretna? What are their strengths?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we play a very competitive schedule, and you know, I think the competitiveness of it, I think it's going to put us in a good position to be ready to go for tomorrow. But you know, Gretna is again a very talented team. They're very big, they're very fast, they're very physical, and it's going to come down to how well we can defend tomorrow. If we can continue to defend like we've defended the entire season, with only allowing 13 goals and having 11 shutouts in 18 of our matches, it's going to give us a great opportunity to win. And, you know, when it comes down to it, we got to find the back of the net, and we got to score. And hopefully we can transition forward and create some counterattacks and try to get them out of position and give ourselves an opportunity to win tomorrow.
Hastings soccer coach Mike Nanfito joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And sometimes when you talk all those shutouts in soccer, depending on what level it is, you might be calling it dumbing it down. You're not dumbing it down and winning 1-0. You're able to put some goals on the board. So this is solid defense, not just slowing the game down.
Yeah, no, definitely not at all. You know, we've gone into the season, and every team and opponent that we've played, we've gone out and played them straight up. And, we haven't dropped back in to, bunker in and try to, work through the game and try to minimize the opportunities for them to score. We've played teams straight up, and I think we can play Gretna straight up tomorrow. And, hopefully we can find some success and use our abilities to come through and win tomorrow morning.
Far and away, your leading scorer is Rudy Escobar with 18 goals, senior. Just talk about this young man and what he'll need to do tomorrow.
Yeah, no, definitely. Rudy has definitely led us in goals this season. He's a great competitor. We as a coaching staff continue to challenge him every day and really try to, make sure he's ready to play day in and day out. And he's a competitor. And I think tomorrow Rudy will be ready to go. I know they'll be, looking for Rudy, and, they'll make sure, Gretna will make sure, they know where he's at. And I wouldn't be surprised if he draws two marks. Quite a few teams that we played this season have really matched up against Rudy with two defenders, and we've just tried to kind of move him around the field. Usually he's up top playing forward, but we tried to move him around, and when we move him around, we continue to have success with him. I think if Rudy can get a goal or two tomorrow, I definitely feel, we're going to be on the positive side of a good outcome tomorrow. But, I think there's five or six other guys for us that can also score. And, we just overall have to play well as a team.
Mike, what about the field as a whole, a big picture? What do you see here in Class B?
I think we got a pretty tough draw. But I feel confident that we can come away tomorrow with a win. But I also see that, I think, to be honest with you, I truly feel that the winner of our game today could potentially play in the state final. On the other side of the bracket is obviously a pretty tough bracket. So, I think you look at competition, and you look at records, and you look at the way teams have stacked up this season and the way they're built. I think it's an open door really for anybody in Class B this year.
This is the Tigers' sixth consecutive trip to state, but I know these senior boys 0-3, so they obviously are hungry to get a win.
Yeah, definitely. And their success this season has been tremendous. Winning the GNAC tournament for the first time in school history, and winning our district tournament, and then winning the sub-state game for Class B to get to the state tournament. So, they're excited to be there, but they're definitely hungry, and they know what they want to. They know what they want, and they're gonna definitely try to do their very best to lead this team to victory tomorrow to give us a chance to play in a state semifinal game Saturday night.
And Mike, finally, the girls play tonight. What's your travel plans? Do you guys get to go down, watch them, stay over, or do you have to stay back and practice?
Yeah, we're actually gonna stay home and practice tonight and get ready to go. We're gonna do a little pregame practice, but we're also gonna get in and play some tonight, and our main focus is obviously what is our task at hand, and that's going down tomorrow morning and getting ready to play Gretna tomorrow morning. But you know, overall, it's exciting for our school and our community, and it's another great year for again both Hastings boys and girls soccer, and the opportunity that we have to go to the state tournament. So we're going to stay back. We're going to send our community and school down there to cheer on our girls tonight. But we're going to get ready for Gretna tomorrow morning.
Well, let's be playing Saturday night. What do you say?
Oh, I hope so. I'm with you, definitely, Doug.
Well, Mike, best of luck. We'll let you get back to work, and we'll be keeping up to date on your game tomorrow. Best of luck to the Tigers.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks, Mike. Mike Nanfito, head coach, Hastings High School Tigers soccer program. And, of course, over at Hastings College and High School, they're mixing and matching, and coaches are working back and forth, and they've got a good thing going over there, real strong programs both at the high school and the collegiate level. When we come back, a little golf talk and updates here from the district track meet in Loup City. This is the Doug and Daddy Show.
It's a place you'll be proud to belong. The Kearney Country Club, with its well-manicured 18-hole golf course, tennis courts, resort-style swimming pool, programs for all ages, as well as fine and casual dining. This year, find out how new members can partner with others to save up to 30% off a membership. Call the Kearney Country Club at 308-234-3151 for details and to set up a time to see for yourself. The Kearney Country Club.
Plan now to take the next step in your education. Don't delay. Start this summer at Central Community College. Classes start May 27th, with additional sessions starting in June and July. Take classes online, on campus, or in your community. Get a great start on a bachelor's degree through CCC's Academic Transfer Program. Or take classes in some of today's hottest employment areas through one of CCC's career and technical programs. Call 877-222-0780 or log on to cccneb.edu. Sign up for summer at Central Community College. Registration begins April 11th.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Johnson Lawn and Landscape is happy to announce their nursery is now open and hosting an open house this Friday and Saturday. Come check out all the trees, shrubs, and perennials. Their staff will be on hand to assist you with plant selection for your own home or business. Come enjoy the experience in a fully landscaped setting with lots of ideas for your own landscape. Right off Central Avenue and 6th Street, Kearney.
This is Hastings College men's basketball coach Bill Gabers. We would like to invite you to Hastings College for Mike Trader's Mid-America basketball camps on June 1st through the 4th and July 6th through the 9th. Camps are for boys and girls. For more information, go to www.traderscamp.com or call Coach Trader at 402-960-8011. Thank you.
Over 28,000 basketball campers have learned fundamentals and skill at Mike Trader's Mid-America basketball camps. Log on to traderscamp.com for more details.
My eyes are burning. I think they melted.
You need to unplug. You've been staring at that screen all day.
But there are so many notifications and cat pictures and tweets and game show bloopers and
big... So what? Do you know how many awesome things there are outside?
I don't think I've seen the outside world in days. Just photos of it. I will go for a walk.
Good, but Holden.
Yeah?
Leave the phone.
Learn more about unplugging and being active at ActivateBuffaloCounty.com. Powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
It's not just a game anymore.
Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation.
The talk is one thing. The question is whether you can back it up.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
This is one of those rookie things, right?
Jam-packed Thursday Doug and Daddy Show. We want to thank everyone from the New York Times to Illinois baseball to the Huskers to locally with soccer and track for being a part of the show today. And tell you what, next week, district golf gets underway. The Kearney Country Club will be hosting the Class D state tournament coming up in a couple of weeks. This year, sometimes it falls before Memorial Day, sometimes it falls after. This year, Memorial Day Monday, so they'll have practice rounds Tuesday and the tournament Wednesday and Thursday. But that's just one of the many things going on at the Kearney Country Club. And Director of Golf and General Manager Matt Shader joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's also at track out there in the West watching his kids. How's it going, Matt?
We got a nice day out here at Hershey and Kearney Catholics here, and my daughter runs for Cambridge, so we're watching a little track out here.
Every time I'm in the press box or the stands at track, and that most tracks are around the big, beautiful, wide-open football field, I think I should be out there practicing my chipping in between reports. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I tell you what, they got this field mowed down. You can hit some nice little wedge shots through the goalposts.
Until I play Hazel one right into some kid running the 3200, then it's over.
Yeah, hey, exactly.
Matt got a big tournament. We've been talking about the John McDonald here the last couple of weeks on ESPN Radio, but still have some spots. We look at the weather forecast. Everybody's just been praying. We've had about 2 days, it seems like, and they weren't even on the weekends of real beautiful weather. Had one nice Saturday, but opportunity, still some room for some teams this weekend.
Definitely. We have plenty of room for teams to come in and participate in the John McDonald Scramble. It's a Saturday and Sunday tournament. You can pick either on Saturday an 8 o'clock shotgun start or a 1 o'clock, 1:30 shotgun start on Saturday, and then everybody will play at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Right now we have about 20 teams, and we still have some room. I've been looking at that weather forecast a lot here, trying to pray that the rain stays away for the weekend too.
Well, it looks like it is a very slight chance. Temperature's finally going to get into the 70s. And Matt, a lot of people, when you say country club, say, well, I can't go play out there. It's a country club. It's private. That's not the case. We're going to talk about membership here in the next couple of weeks. But if you haven't had a chance or rarely had a chance, this is a four-person scramble. Get your buds together and get on out there.
Yeah, we're a very laid-back country club. Nothing like what, the stigma is about a country club. We're laid back. We like to go out and have fun, and the membership's really young and growing. And get some friends together and give the pro shop a call and get your team signed up for the John McDonald Scramble. It's going to be a lot of fun. We kick it off with the round, and then we have dinner that Saturday night, and then come back in on Sunday and play a little golf some more. So it'll be a good weekend.
And again, tomorrow you can get a practice round in if you want. There's a shootout tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, two-person shootout, the steak dinner in the Calcutta Saturday night. So just like many of the two-day scrambles, this will be a lot of fun. That's not all that's going on, though. What else we got, Matt?
Oh, we got all kinds. We got state golf coming up the 28th and 29th. We've got some practice rounds that are going to be going on the 27th. Class D is coming in. We hosted the Fort Kearney Conference, so some of those Class D teams got a little taste of what the country club is going to be playing. We've also got a lot of Memorial Day activities going on with the pool opening, and we'll have a big barbecue going on. There's just all kinds of activities. We've got couples golf going on. We've got, you name it, we've got it.
Around the corner, the Tasha Kider Memorial Golf Fundraiser is coming up in June. We'll get another chance here to talk about the Snag Golf Program. We really got into that last year, but just a quick update on that. Folks may have seen your smiling face on the TV talking about it, too.
Yeah, I was on TV a little bit doing it. The Snag system has really been great. We're able to purchase five kits from the tournament last year with the money we raised to put into the elementary school systems. Each kit is approximately about $3,000. So we were able to get into five of those elementary schools, and the PE teachers actually share them. They take them between the elementary schools. This year's goal is to get another three or four kits so that we can hopefully fill out the rest of the elementary schools and even get into the junior high school for the sixth graders, and then progressively go up. And actually, we were working on some stuff to get real clubs in kids' hands that might not be able to afford them, and then go out for golf maybe in high school or even continue playing on down in life.
All right, Matthew, again, folks get signed up. 234-3151 is the number out at the Kearney Country Club Pro Shop, and you can find out more about getting entered for this weekend's John McDonald Scramble. Matt, should be a great weekend.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing everybody out at the Kearney Country Club this weekend.
Take care, buddy. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
That's Matt Shander, Director of Golf and General Manager of the Kearney Country Club. Get signed up today for the four-person John McDonald Scramble coming up this weekend. And again, more golf coming up. And some of that, the Tasha Kider will talk about next month, helping fund the Snag Golf Program and develop the game of golf, starting in Kearney and then developing and going out from there. Coming up, we will be wrapping up the show right here. Then I'll have an update here on the district track meet. The first wave of field events is in the book. I'll have reports on the boys' discus,
high jump and triple jump. The girls' shot put, long jump, and pole vault results, they are all done. The rest of the field events are going on now. Then the running events will get going at 1 o'clock. Jeff Babel is over in Wood River. He'll also have updates from the C9. Yesterday, Kearney High boys got the job done. Kearney girls finished in third. Grand Island boys were the runner-up. Hastings finished in fifth in both of their district boys and girls. Again, Creighton Prep, a winner today at state soccer. And at halftime, Grand Island now has fallen behind. Westside has converted a corner kick in the 66th minute, so it is now 1-0 Omaha Westside over Grand Island. A couple other sports notes. Didn't even really get into the Banderas deal. You can read it if you're a Husker fan. You've been on the message boards. Sean Callahan reporting from Casey Martinez, the father of Taylor Martinez, that Taylor failed his physical. And so everybody that was giving Martinez crap about his bad foot last year, well, he failed his NFL physical, folks, because of that foot. It still has not properly healed. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. Also, Corey Cooper, Nebraska's leading tackler from last year, and Randy Gregory, the first-team all-conference, among the 42 players selected to the Lott Impact Trophy watch list. That's going to wrap things up for today's Doug and Daddy Show, but I'll be here in Loup City giving you district track updates all afternoon. We want to thank Nebraska starting catcher Tanner Lubach, Illinois head coach Dan Hartlip for joining us, Nebraska hosting Illinois beginning tonight at 6:35. Mike Nanfito, Hastings boys soccer coach Matt Shaner from the Kearney Country Club, and of course, a Preakness preview with Joe Drape of the New York Times, Gino Boccola of the TVG Network with more on the Preakness tomorrow, Kearney girls coach Tammy Anderson, Jim Langan in studio. We hope you have a great Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.